Thy strong word, we praise you and acknowledge you up through endless ranks of angels. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton, inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Singing the Ancient Faith in Our Own Days. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you or our fathers. We have not loved any of your sisters or us. We justly deserve your presence and eternal punishment.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Peace. The doors were locked. That detail matters. You see, this was no casual gathering. These were men who were in hiding. These were men who had watched their teacher get arrested, tried, and crucified. These were men who thought that perhaps they were next. Fear will do this. Fear locks doors. These were men who heard the news. They knew that Mary Magdalene had seen the risen Christ, that she heard him and even touched him. He is risen. Peter and John run to the tomb. They find it empty. The grave clothes are neatly folded. This is not the work of grave robbers. Everything you see is in order. And still, the doors are locked. Still, they are afraid. This is important.
You see, knowing about the resurrection is not the same thing as meeting the risen Christ. It's the difference between hearing that someone is alive and hearing his voice. Dead men don't rise. They knew this to be true. We know this. The news seemed too good, too strange, too much. But then Jesus appeared. There was no knock at the door, no waiting for him to be let in. He simply appears as if he had been there all along, which of course is absolutely true. He is there in that locked little room, and he's with us in this one. For where two or three are gathered in his name, he is present among us. He comes and he stands among them. Look at this little church of frightened disciples. And he speaks, "Peace be with you. Shalom." This is not the stuff of greeting cards. This is a word that delivers exactly what it says, peace. Peace that is wholeness, that everything is right as it ought to be between you and God. What a beautiful gift they receive from the Lord Jesus in his resurrection. Spoken from the lips of Christ himself, directly into the ears of these frightened disciples. And with him, with those words, come his wounds. He shows them his hands and his side. They look upon the nail holes, the spear wound. Why the wounds? Well, the wounds mark him as the crucified one. Had Jesus appeared in some glorified state, some wound-erased form, you could be forgiven for asking whether this was really the same Jesus. Thomas would ask exactly that. He'd said what? "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." These are hard words, but they are honest ones. Dead men don't rise. Who could blame him, really? But the wounds of our Lord Jesus are more than an identification. They are the source. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. The peace Jesus speaks of is not a hollow religious wish. It is peace won for you at a price, reconciliation between God and the world, purchased by the death of his Son. And from those wounds come your forgiveness, come your life, your salvation. Our sin is what keeps us locked up in fear, folks. We've gotten very good at hiding it. We can come up with excuse after excuse, piling them up. We can hide ourselves in good works. On top of that, we like to put up a beautiful exterior on Sundays, respectable, churchman-like. But a lot of it's just an old trick that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, stitching fig leaves and hiding behind the trees. It sounds ridiculous when it's put that way, doesn't it? And it's supposed to. Because hiding from God behind anything you've done is utterly futile. The wounds are the key. Remember what flowed from the side of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Water and blood. John saw it and testified to it. a sign that he was truly dead, and yet there is so much more. For from the wounded side flows the water of your baptism, and the blood that touches your lips in the supper. Water and blood, baptism, Holy Communion, coming together in the Spirit, these three testify to what Jesus has done for you. And then Jesus says it again, peace be with you. Once you'd think would be enough, but not for faith, right? Faith does not get tired of listening to Jesus. We can't get enough of him. And now he sends them, this little group of locked up, frightened disciples, out into the world for which he died for. How will they manage? What will push them out of that door? Kind of sounds like call night. Jesus breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. This is the breath of the church. It's not our own breath. It's Christ's breath in us. You know what it's like to be out of breath. You know when you've run too hard, when you've pushed too fast, you can't get the words out. Words need air. And the church's breath is Christ's breath. The wind of God blowing from the mouth of the risen Christ. He who resuscitates his frightened disciples with the Spirit bestows on them freedom and joy. In the beginning, the Spirit of God moved over waters of creation. God spoke the word that brought out light and life from nothing. In your baptism, the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and God spoke his words over you, joining you to Christ in his death and his resurrection. In a real sense, Jesus connects you to the Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit to Christ Jesus. He who breathed on you bestows his Spirit and raises you up. With that breath comes the words, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. Another beautiful gift in the resurrection. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not something you have to go searching for. You don't have to climb up to heaven or dig for it out of your own broken heart. You listen to it. Forgiveness is spoken, it's heard. In the liturgy of private confession, the pastor says, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Now, on its own, my forgiveness won't do you any eternal good. It might make peace between you and me, but not between you and God. Only God's forgiveness can do that. And a beautiful gift given to you is that as I stand in the stead and by the command of Christ, you are forgiven. God gives forgiveness to you through his church, through called, ordained men of God. The church is a mouthhouse of forgiveness. Salvation's an acoustical affair. God speaks forgiveness. Faith hears it. Faith receives this gift. And where there's forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. Forgiveness is both won and received. It was won on the cross once and for all. It's received through faith in the hearing of the word spoken to you. Jesus died so that you might hear forgiveness of all your sins. What a gift. What a gift. But the opposite is also true. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. There is no neutral ground between forgiveness and unforgiveness, just as there is no middle ground between faith and unbelief. God forces no one. He wants to forgive. He sent his son Jesus to forgive. He baptized you to be forgiven. But refuse it in unrepentant unbelief, and forgiveness is withheld. How tragic. 8 days later, guess who shows up? Thomas finally arrives. The Lord Jesus appears again, same greeting, peace be with you. And he turns to Thomas and offers exactly to Thomas what he needed. He offers the hands, the side. See them, touch them. Stop doubting, believe. Thomas has nothing left to argue with. My Lord and my God. That's the most full and beautiful confession of faith in the Gospel of John. Thomas believes. He trusts. And those wounds, those same wounds that showed Jesus to be the crucified and risen one, show him to be what he is for Thomas and what he is for you. You who sit here today. He's your Lord, your God. He's the one who saved you by dying and rising. He's the one who forgives you. And then Jesus says something so tender. Did you catch it? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You haven't seen the nail holes. You haven't put your hand into his side, but you have heard. You have been baptized. You have eaten and drunk at his table. You have forgiveness spoken right into your ears. And believing, you have life in his name. In the name of Jesus.
Lord, our strength and our shield on behalf of the church and the whole world. For the one true church scattered across the globe, that our Heavenly Father would keep her faithful in hearing his word of life and making her bold in proclaiming the blessing, honor, glory, and power of the risen Christ to all people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in our time, that God would thwart the evil desires that lead to conflict, and raise up leaders who strive for peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all children and young people, asking that our Heavenly Father would nurture them in the life of His risen Son, so that they may believe His word, set their hope fully in Christ, learn to defend the true faith, and use their talents not for their own sakes, but for the glory of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who are sick or injured, that our risen Lord of life would grant them His perfect healing, comfort in the midst of their distress, and the blessed hope of perfect life in heaven. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have gone before us and now enjoy eternal communion with Christ, let us give thanks to the Lord. For all who still walk by faith in the risen Lord, that He would keep us faithful to Him and lead us to rejoice in the good news that the kingdom of God is near, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially, we are bound to praise you this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. By his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Heaven and earth, For you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Our Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, and your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.